endless men whose age will be not to defend some ancient creed, but to live out the laws of Christ in every thought and word and deed. God send us men alert and quick, His lofty precepts to translate, until the laws of Christ become the laws and habits of the state.
Welcome to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. We challenge you to open your Bible and follow along with today's message. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To contact us or read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com. And now, here is evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you again for taking the time to listen to the message this morning. I want to remind you again that Kingdom Conference 2021, it's going to be here before you know it. And Lord willing, we're going to be meeting again at the Maranatha Bible Camp and Retreat Center, which is located in Everton, Missouri. And Everton is about 35 minutes northwest of Springfield. And if you're planning to attend, I mean, we'd really appreciate it if you'd let us know. Even though we're still about 4 months away, which as those of you who are in the same age range that I'm in, I mean, you know that 4 months is about a blink of an eye. I mean, it's just amazing how that works. You know, this is kind of a silly thing to think about, but I do. I think about this from time to time because it's true that the older you get, the faster time seems to go by. I mean, when you're 10 years old, 1 year is 1/10 of the amount of time that you've been living. And I mean, it just seems like, I remember when I was that young, I mean, a year just seemed like forever. You know, it just took so long to come around. And so, you know, I mean, 1/10 of your lifetime, I mean, relatively, that's a lot of time. But when you're 60, I mean, 1 year is 1/60 of the amount of time that you've been living, which, you know, relatively is not nearly as much as 1/10 of time. So while the time seems to just go by faster and faster for some reason, I mean, I can't ever seem to get as much done in a day as I used to. I mean, it seems like it takes me so much longer today than it did to do even the very same things that I used to do years ago. I mean, I get up in the morning earlier than ever. Then it just seems like the day's just gone before you know it. Well, oh well. I mean, maybe God's instilled that in us the older that we get to realize that even more, that as our generation slips away, I mean, we're reminded again of how little we've done to change our generation for the kingdom of God. And listen to me, I'm not being critical of my brothers in Christ who are just now waking up to the reality that we haven't been doing what we're supposed to do. I'm not being critical of you. Please don't take it that way. I mean, I've got to tell things like it is. And if you're trying to follow Christ, to walk in His kingdom, desiring to come out from among them and be separate, I mean, when I preach and say things that show us our shortcomings and failings, when I preach those things, I mean, those things are said, they're not said to be hateful and discouraging. They're meant to be encouraging, to help all of us. And when I'm preaching, I'm preaching every bit as hard at me as I am to anyone else. I mean, I actually listen to the word to get encouragement in my own life, to take each remaining day left to try to turn someone or something to the kingdom of God. You know, I hear so many people who claim Christ, who are just so bothered and upset at the direction of the U.S. quote government. And yes, I've got to say quote government because it is not a legitimate government. I mean, since the day of its inception and acceptance, call it 1787 or 1789, I mean, give or take 100 years either way, possibly even as early as the 1700s. But the, quote, government that people have accepted for themselves in the land commonly called America has not been a legitimate God-ordained government. In the New Covenant world, men are not allowed to have little g governments like the world. Those days ended. When the old world, the old age, ended in the first century, the days where God allowed the nations to walk in their own ways ended. You might say, well, Charlie, you say this over and over and over. Well, yes, I do. Excuse me. And I still get people contacting me and saying things to me that lets me know that the message is still not getting across to some out there, some sincere seekers of the word. So if you get it, then just bear with me, because the work's not even near done. I mean, the work is just beginning. And as long as even the sincere ones aren't getting this fully ingrained, I've got to keep saying it over and over and over. You know, this is not the passage of scripture for today's message, but quickly, let's turn to Acts 14 again this morning. And I need to go over this again. I use this phrase often, allow the nations to walk in their own ways. So let's look again at where this comes from. When trying to reach and to teach people the importance, and you know, that's probably the understatement of all time, the importance. It's the most important element of understanding Christianity, because it's the purpose of the Bible. It's the purpose of creation. It's the meaning of everything. The old world age ended, and the new world, new covenant, kingdom age of Christ began in the first century. That's why it's called universally, all over the world, it's called the first century. And that's because it was the first century of the new world. It was monumental. It was huge. And that's why it's called the first century. That's the time where God said, behold, I make all things new. This is the most important thing to understand when trying to find and apply the will of God in our lives. There were things that were done, things that were allowed, things that were ordained in the old world, but not in the new world, in the new age. Some of those things are no longer permitted. Verse 1 of Acts chapter 14. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, that a great multitude both of the Jews and also of the Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were ware of it, and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about, and there they preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, Sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea, and all things that are therein. Now watch. Who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. There it is. Paul was preaching the gospel, which we're going to find out in just a minute again, the gospel of the kingdom. And here we have him preaching, still in the old covenant world, and telling these people that in the times past, God suffered. All right, Webster's 1828 says, suffered means born, permitted, allowed. God allowed, God permitted the nations to walk in their own ways. Now, if you go up a word in Webster's and look at sufferance, there's an interesting applicable definition there, and it says toleration, permission, allowance. Now listen to this one. Negative consent by not forbidding or hindering. Then look below suffered at sufferer, one who endures or undergoes pain. Well, exactly, because the one who allowed or permitted by negative consent, because he knew better than the created one, who was acting like a spoiled little baby, demanding to have his own way, when he went his own way, he suffered because of it. In the old world, beginning in 1 Samuel chapter 8, when the spoiled little brats, which is exactly what they were, demanded a king like all the other nations, and Yahweh gave them what they wanted by negative consent, not forbidding or hindering, then the brats suffered almost constantly because they demanded to have things their way, and they got it, and the outcome was not good because it never is. Clearly, the purpose of creation was so that God would have a people for himself, people that love him, obey his laws, obey his will, and he would be their God and they would be his people, and he would bless them and provide for them and take care of them. That was the ultimate purpose of creation, but they chose otherwise, and through negative consent, God let them have their way. But this was only to last until the end of the old covenant world. Paul is clearly telling these people that God allowed this in times past. In the old world, in the old age, he allowed it. But when he sent his son, surely they would reverence his son. And this time, whether they liked it or not, he was withdrawing his negative consent, his negative permission for men to do their own thing. He made his son king, the only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now in the new world that he created, not only is his son the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he is the last of the kings that God has given permission to. He gave positive consent for his son to be king. And now no one, no thing, anywhere under his creation has his consent, negative or otherwise, to be a king, to be a president, to be a mayor, to be a governor, to be in a position where men are forced to choose between the kingdoms of men and the kingdom of God. This should be the most wonderful, the most liberating, the most joyful message that can be preached today, that men are free to obey God and live contrary to the wicked, ungodly edicts of wicked men. There's no reasoning. There's no need for discussion. There's no need for twisting the scriptures into things that they do not say. The new world, the new age that Christ brought, gives men the unbridled freedom to obey God and God alone, and to ignore anything and everything that mere men do in the name of their unlawful little g governments. And it's time we, the people of God, be released from fearing men and their little g governments and fear the only one who is capable of destroying both the body and the soul in the grave. All right, verse 16 again, who in times past suffered, allowed, permitted all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every ecclesia and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Yes, absolutely. That's what Paul was preaching. The times where God allowed the nations to walk in their own ways was ending, and the time for entering the kingdom of God, the only God-ordained government in the new world, in the new age, was coming. And yes, it came through much tribulation. When they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren of the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And now, because the preaching of the kingdom of God has been basically silent on this land for nearly 300 years, now that it's being preached again, because little g governments have once again gained a stronghold, when the gospel of the kingdom is preached and lived by people doing contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there's another king, one Jesus, then the people and the, quote, rulers of the city are going to be troubled. I said all that this morning because a very dear brother of mine wrote to me this week and made several comments in his email in reference to the U.S. little g government. And he used the words, quote, our government. Well, I'm trying to tell you this morning that the days of people having, quote, our government, unless you're talking about the ecclesia of God, the kingdom of God, the government of God ruled by King Jesus, by King Yeshua, unless you're talking about that government, we've got to wipe those two words out of our lives. For the followers of Christ, quote, our government had better not be the U.S. or Canada or Australia or England. Those days are over. When we admit to or agree to or consent to any government made by men, we're standing in agreement with the same spirit of men who, when they heard the parable of Christ, when he was telling the story of his coming kingdom, and those men answered and said, we will not have this man to reign over us. Give us Barabbas. This Jesus is not our king. If he was king, let him come down from the cross and save himself. Man's government put him on the cross. Man's government is the one with the power. He won't show us his power. He isn't king now. And then because the churchmen are always so eager to try to be accepted by the world, they changed the gospel of the kingdom to agree with those wicked men that murdered Christ. And today it's, well, he's a coming king. And when he comes, he'll show you. And all the while, the world continues to mock and laugh at the king. Sure, you can say he's your king all you want to, as long as he's a coming king. As long as he's no threat to our government, then you can say anything you want to about your king. From one of the leading churchian sites in America, Focus on the Family, I found an article this week called A Christian's Relationship with a Godless Government, Well, someone had written in to Focus on the Family with the following question. And then I'll get to the response. But this was the question, quote, "Why should I submit to a government that I believe is moving in the wrong direction? I love my country and want to cooperate with the political system, but I'm struggling to understand what the Bible says on this subject. How in the world can the Apostle Paul tell Christians to submit to the authorities, Romans 13:1-7, when we know for a fact that many human governments are corrupt and unjust? What should a believer do when he feels that his own government is ungodly?" End quote. All right. Well, what's interesting to me is that the one with this question seems to me to be saying, well, it just doesn't make any sense to me that we, as followers of Christ, are supposed to obey little g governments. Well, when I was playing, quote, church, I used to see it fairly often. And looking back at those times, I absolutely know what I thought way back then was exactly what was going on. Inside the, quote, churches, there are sincere seekers of truth sitting in those pews. Absolutely. And when they see and hear things that don't line up with Scripture, they question. And 10 times out of 10, if they don't get the answer that they know lines up with Scripture, rather than the so-called preacher choosing Christ and truth, a campaign of sorts will be waged against the seeker until that seeker is usually kicked out of the place. Well, the question posed to Focus on the Family seems like the same thing to me. The, quote, preacher, then, who is the agent for the state, will always give an answer that keeps the, quote, preacher and the, quote, church in acceptance with the state. I want you to listen to the answer now from Focus on the Family. This is what they had to say, quote, "The Bible does in fact command Christians to submit to the governing authorities, Romans 13:1, and to pray for kings and all who are in authority that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence, 1 Timothy 2:2. These words even more striking when we realize that Paul penned them during the reigns of the Roman emperors Nero and Caligula, two of the worst tyrants known to history. The point is clear. As long as we can do so without denying Christ or compromising our faith, we must always strive to cooperate with the ruling powers. That doesn't necessarily mean that we will endorse all of their policies or approve of every specific action they take. This is especially true in a democratic society where it is the duty of responsible citizens to examine public servants with a discerning and critical eye. Nevertheless, Christians are responsible to uphold biblical righteousness in a hostile culture while also expressing respect for its leadership," end quote. As with, I guess I'd have to say, every single churchman I have ever heard speak, this answer is pure doublespeak. It's double-mindedness. Some of this double-mindedness, I believe, from some of these guys is purely out of ignorance, but some of it is purely by design. And I'm going to give you an example of that in just a minute, of that one, of it being purely by design and not out of ignorance. But when a man does not understand the monumental change that occurred at the end of the world, the end of the age, he's not going to be able to understand any of the life-changing principles in the Scripture. The one who sent in the question, okay, he sees the life of the apostles beginning in the book of Acts, where those guys were arrested, they were jailed, they were beaten, seems like every other day. And the response of the apostles was always, we must obey God rather than men. Well, the honest, sincere seeker sees this and sees that the very life of the ones giving the example for Christian life were constantly at odds with the, quote, little g government of their day. All through Scripture, the first 39 books and the last 27 books, followers of God and Christ were always being persecuted by men's little g governments. Well, then the churchmen, which are owned and operated and controlled by the state, do everything they can to make sure that anyone who identifies these plain truths from the Word of God are silenced one way or another. Get back in line. Well, and now the popular thing is, shut up and do what you're told. Now's the time to just do what you're told. Boy, how any red-blooded male cannot have his blood just boil over such things said to him is just beyond me. But Focus on the Family continues, quote, with his answer. The Westminster Confession of Faith provides us with some valuable insight into this problem. In Chapter 3, Section 1 of God's Eternal Decree, the framers of this document write the following. God from all eternity did by the most wise and holy counsel of his own will, freely and unchangeably ordain whatsoever comes to pass. Yet so as thereby neither is God the author of sin, nor is violence offered to the will of the creatures, nor is the liberty or contingency of second causes taken away, but rather established. What do these words mean? Simply this: God is sovereign over human events. At the same time, he gives people the freedom to make their own choices and go their own way. In other words, no one can become a king, emperor, governor, president, assemblyman, or senator apart from God's will. Now, stop here again for a minute. Last week, we talked about the doctrine of the divine right of kings, which was supposed to be pertaining to earthly kings. But the reality is, and here's another example, the modern churchman has taken the old covenant doctrine of the divine right of kings and has expanded it to just say the divine right of anyone who claims authority over another man. You are to obey anyone who says to obey me, and do it because God has commanded it. Well, that's what's happening today, and it's got no basis in Scripture whatsoever. The divine right of kings, if it had any basis from 1 Samuel chapter 8, ended when Christ became king. It ended, and it certainly wasn't expanded in the new world. I have, for many years now, been putting my thoughts together for a series of messages on how I intend to refute this even further. Okay, I absolutely believe that that statement that Focus on the Family has made is wrong. I believe, again, it's wrong because men do not understand the monumental change that took place when Christ was revealed in the flesh. They do not understand the old world ended, the old age ended. Well, I don't know how close I am to preaching this series. I mean, there's so much to it, but I do feel like I'm like each day I'm getting closer and closer. But I'm going to tell you this: it is not God's will for any man to be a king. It is not God's will for any man to be an emperor, governor, president, assemblyman, or senator. Those men steal those positions. Those men usurp those positions out of rebellion by either having more spending power than others, more and bigger and better guns and bullets, but not by the will of God. God has ordained no one or no thing to be a, quote, little g government in the new world. There is one king, one lawgiver, one ruler, one judge. It was not God's will for any single man or any single little g government to exist in the new world. Those days are over. If it's God's will for men to be in, quote, power today, then the obvious conclusion is exactly what I'm reading for you today. If it's God's will for them to be in, quote, power, then it's God's will for you to obey them. And that is absolutely false. We are to obey and follow King Jesus, King Yeshua, just like all the parables he taught when he taught men to follow him, just like they were sheep and he was the shepherd. They were to come out of the sheepfold, which was the world, and follow him exclusively. The world and their little g governments are strange voices. and my sheep do not hear their voice, and they will not follow them. Stay at home. Don't work. Wear a mask. Stay 6 feet apart. Don't get together with your family. Get a vaccine. Yeah, a vaccine with RNA, genetically modifying materials in it. Yeah, do this because God has ordained us to rule over you, and you must obey because God said so. Well, that is not the voice of God. This is the voice of Satan's masquerading as angels of light. And anyone who advocates for them is also the voice of Satan's, and followers of Christ are to have nothing whatsoever to do with them. Thomas Paine, who I could absolutely care less about, is famously quoted as saying, "Government, even in its best state, is but a necessary evil. In its worst state, an intolerable one." Indeed, that's exactly what men's little g government is. That's why God sent his only begotten Son to this world, to dissolve all men's little g wicked governments and establish his method of capital G government, the ecclesia, the kingdom of God on earth, where his will is carried out on earth as it is in heaven. And that's been the plan from before the foundation of the world. And friends, you know it, I know it, we all know. That is not what's going on in the generation that you and I are responsible for. This gospel is barely preached at all. And even worse than it being barely preached, Paul said, "Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel." The gospel of the kingdom is barely preached and even barely lived. This is our problem. Our problem is not all the faults and shortcomings in the U.S. quote little g government. That's what happens. That's the norm. That's the evil. It's a common byproduct of their rebellion and refusal to accept the king. We need to, and listen to me. The scripture says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." I realize how far away we are from where we're supposed to be. We're barely preaching and barely living the gospel. But the start of it is in the heart. We've got to quit referring to man's little g governments as, quote, our government. Every single time you're talking to someone and they say the phrase, our government, you've got to stop them in their tracks and make sure they know that it's their government. It's not your government. Consume your mind and your thoughts with the biblical truth that you're supposed to be a citizen of the Commonwealth of Israel. You're not a citizen of the world. Know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Don't we know this? Knowing something is having the belief in our hearts and in our minds. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you think you're a citizen of the Commonwealth of Israel, then you are. If you think you're not a citizen of the world, then so is he. Let these truths consume you. Stop using the phrase, our government, when you know that the U.S. little g government is not of God. Continuing with the Focus on the Family article, quote, "But this doesn't mean that possession of political power amounts to a stamp of approval from God. That's where the will of the creatures and the liberty and contingency of a whole host of secondary causes come into play. After all, the Bible calls King Nebuchadnezzar God's servant, Jeremiah 25:9. This obviously does not imply that Nebuchadnezzar was a godly man," end quote. Once again, statements like this arise from not knowing that the old covenant world, the old age ended. Yes, in the old world, during the time where God allowed, permitted with negative consent, kings like all the other nations, he did set up good kings and he set up bad kings. Yes, he did. But in the new world, he has set up one king. And not only is that one king, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he is the last of the kings that he set up. Find me one more king in the last 27 books of the Bible that he set up. There isn't one. He set up his son, period. Besides him, there is no other. in the first 39 books of the Bible. You see it. He set up king after king after king after king. Over and over and over, you see king after king set up in the old world. But in the new world, you see one king, and you don't ever see him set up another. In the last 27 books of the Bible, you do see earthly kings. The Bible is constantly talking about their kingdoms coming down, being brought down, being cast down, because it's so the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of his Son, and he shall reign forever and ever. We've got to help people get out of the old world, the old age, and into the new world, because this is the problem. Men are still living in the old covenant world, and that's the problem. You can't live in the old covenant world and find the will of God. You can't live in the old covenant world and get reconciliation from the Father. This is why understanding Matthew 24:3, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world, the end of the age, is so vital. When I hear people say a man's eschatology is not important, not only is it important, it's the most important thing. Understanding that the king already came is the most important thing to understand from Scripture. And you know, these churchmen that continue to point the finger at Nebuchadnezzar for his faults, and they use that example as why the wicked should, quote, rule today, is just beyond me. Why these men do not preach Daniel 4:33 through 37 in relation to Nebuchadnezzar is just beyond me. The truth is, concerning Nebuchadnezzar, that he has been in heaven fellowshipping with all the saints for hundreds and hundreds of years. Nebuchadnezzar was one of the greatest men and examples in all the Bible. But all these churchmen want to do is point out his failures and use them as examples for today. Listen to Daniel 4:33 through 37 about Nebuchadnezzar, and you tell me what a horrible, awful man Nebuchadnezzar was. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, this is his own testimony, recorded from Scripture, his own words. He said, I lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom mine honor and brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. There weren't very many kings in Israel who had the testimony and said those things about the God of heaven. Just amazing. Focus on the Family continues, quote, the long and short of it, then, is that God is always in charge. We may not trust the governing authorities, but we have to trust him. Under normal circumstances, we can demonstrate that trust by cooperating with the state, paying our taxes, participating in the system, and staying out of trouble. But this doesn't mean that we should be blind. Okay, that is doublespeak. That is pure doublespeak. We can never forget that the power of human rulers is subject to a higher power. It's contingent upon the absolute sovereignty of God. Once again, pure doublespeak, double-mindedness. Should a situation arise in which these two authorities come into clear conflict with one another, Christians have to obey God rather than men, Acts 5:29. But we can hope that such situations of this nature will be few and far between, end quote. Few and far between? That's hilarious. That is absolutely hilarious. Let's hope those situations are few and far between. Okay, well, where should we start? How about taxing labor? Should we obey God or men? How about using currency other than gold or silver or other things with intrinsic value? Well, should we obey God or men? How about licensing or registering marriages or registering children? Should we obey God or men? How about ungodly schemes such as Social Security or government education or vaccines or property taxes or inheritance taxes or free health care by taking from one person and giving to another? Should we obey God or men? How about swearing oaths or pledging allegiances or standing when the music is played with hand over heart? Should we obey God or men? How about wearing a mask when you aren't sick or when you know the whole pandemic is a staged fake event? Should we obey God or men? How about when the founding document defiantly states, "Our laws and our treaties, this Constitution shall be the supreme law of the land"? Well, should we obey God or should we obey men? Well, a couple of weeks ago, a friend of mine who's getting up there in age somewhat, he says to me, "You know, every single thing about the U.S. government is a lie." Well, yeah, because if the foundation is bad, then the fruit is bad. And the fruit is bad because the root is bad. All the problems that plague us today have arisen because we have failed to understand the phrase, the end of the world, the end of the age. Men's little g governments have continued on into the new world when that system was clearly nailed to the cross. Or maybe better stated, when Christ rose from the dead, making an open show, making a public show of men's little g government, triumphing over them in it. Synagogue has continued in the new world with something called church, when both of those old covenant, old world entities were replaced in the new world with the kingdom of Christ. Little g government doesn't exist anymore, and neither does the concept of the synagogue. They're gone. They've got no place in the new world. Just like the synagogue in the time of Christ was the extension of the little g government that killed Christ and persecuted the saints. The quote, church in the new world is the extension of the state that still persecutes Christ and his saints today. As much as I'd love to name names this morning, I'm not going to, because I'm just protecting the privacy of the man who told me this story over the last couple weeks. But I'm now back at the place in my message where I told you I was going to tell you about a man, a quote, preacher, that's masquerading as an angel of light when he's absolutely a minister of Satan. But I've been trying to get my friend to come out of the old world concept of synagogue / church for a long time. And I've been telling him that the, quote, preachers today are exactly who Paul said they were when he said they were ministers of Satan that were transforming themselves into angels of light. Well, anyway, a couple of weeks ago, this friend of mine told me about a huge controversy that was going on at the, quote, church that he used to attend. And there is, I mean, what the world calls an underaged girl. And she has a young man that she's been sneaking out with without her father's permission. And both of these young people are, quote, church people, members of the same, quote, church. And well, the young girl has gotten pregnant. And of course, that's what happens when young people rebel against the word of God and trouble like this comes into their lives. Okay, it happens. Now let's deal with it. But remember now, I mean, these are all church people going to the same, quote, church. The father of the pregnant girl is obviously not happy. The father of the young man is not happy. But they wanted to deal with this matter internally. And even though they're playing church, I mean, I do commend them for wanting to deal with this without getting the rest of their world involved in it. So guess what happens next? Well, The next thing you know, the young man gets arrested and charged with statutory rape and is facing prison. The family of the pregnant girl, their home gets raided by the, quote, child protection agency, and all those in the, quote, church are sitting around scratching their heads trying to figure out how the cops and the CPS even heard about this. Well, even though he was very upset, and rightly so, the father of the pregnant girl did not want the young man to get arrested, let alone sent to prison. I mean, good grief, this was not rape. His daughter was every bit as guilty as the young man, and everyone knew it. Well, as soon as I heard this much of the story, I told my friend, well, this is easy as can be. The, quote, preacher of this, quote, church is the one who called the cops and the CPS on his own, quote, church members. That's as easy as can be to know who told on these people. Well, yesterday I received a call from my friend, and it's out now. Yes, it was the, quote, preacher who called the cops and the CPS on members of his own, quote, church. This is not in the least surprising. Marvel not that even Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. 1 Corinthians 6:1, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints. Paul says, how dare you? How dare you go to the unbelievers in any of your matters? No matter how small, no matter how big, believers are not to take other believers to the courts of the ungodly. Of course, now, the key word here is in the word believers, because we are dealing with church people. But do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the ecclesia. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there's not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren, but brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. You know, the sad part of this is what is so common in these, quote, church settings, that some of the more honest, seeking people will take passages of scripture such as this one and believe that they apply to them and actually try to do the right thing when matters such as the one that I described to you occur. Well, then what happens? The state, quote, preacher, who is an agent for the state, he is not an agent of God. He is not standing in an office of the ecclesia. He's the guardian of the state. He is the one who calls the cops and the CPS. And even worse than that, if something could be worse, if that's not bad enough, he told the young lady not to tell her parents that he was the one who turned him into CPS. Amazing. Not only is this so-called preacher participated in defrauding the people in his, quote, church, but he counseled the young girl to lie to her dad. Certainly, it's not surprising. I've seen things like this over and over in my life. All these types of things arise because of the double speak, the double-mindedness that comes from not knowing that the old world ended. Friends, we've got to know in our hearts and in our minds the truth concerning the phrase, the end of the world, that it means the end of the old covenant age. But the implications of what that means are so vast and far-reaching. When we understand the implications and understand that it means that our responsibility on this side of the first century is that Christ is King, and his kingdom is where our allegiance is supposed to be. We're not supposed to be citizens of the U.S., citizens of Australia, citizens of the Philippines. Yes, I know those places are where we were born. I get that. But where we were born is not what's important. It's not the most important thing. It's where we were reborn and what that rebirth means. Physically born in sin. Most people, the vast majority of people, were born into the mindset of the old covenant world, the world of men's little g governments and men's synagogues / churches. Then when they realize their need for salvation to come out of the mindset of the old covenant world and be transformed into the new world by the renewing of their minds so that they can know what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's the rebirth that matters. That's the citizenship that matters. If you know that you have been reborn, a new creation whose citizenship is not of the world, but in the commonwealth of Israel, if you believe that in your heart, then rest assured, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Come out from among them and be separate, because the old world has ended. There are those still living in the old world because they've never been saved from it. They've never been rescued from it. And they're intent on dominating you and making you their slave and making you conform to their wicked laws, statutes, and ordinances for the purpose of denying you entrance into the kingdom of Christ. The old world has ended. We're in the new world where Christ and Christ alone is king. He's King of Kings, He's Lord of Lords, and besides Him there is no other. And knowing that the days of the kings has ended, and knowing the adaptability of those that are constantly changing the truth of God into a lie, I wonder if maybe this wasn't the mastermind purpose as to why those men in the late 1700s chose to call their little g government a republic instead of a monarchy. Well, America doesn't have a king because it's Constitution, because its constitution is based on the Bible. Yet the reality of it all today is that the U.S. government today has done more to keep people away from the kingdom of God, maybe than any other little g government in history. America's problem is truly that it does not have a king. America needs a return to King Jesus, to King Yeshua. In the new world, there's one government. There's only one government allowed. There's one government that is the will of God, and that is the kingdom of Christ.
Gentle Shepherd, In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads His dear children along. Where the waters cold flow, lays the weary one's feet, God leads His dear children along. Some through the waters and some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives us all. Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads His dear children along. Sometimes in the valley, in darkest of night, God leads His dear children. The waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives us all.
You've been listening to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. To contact us or to read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit godsendusmen.com.